Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Tuesday, April 30th. It is indeed Kale and Company, right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210, the phone number. On social media at 1210WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Don Stenslin with the news. Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board. Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. What a stacked show we have for you today. Don, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Yes. Hopefully it's Tuesday, April 30th, because yesterday it felt like Tuesday, August 30th, 140 degrees outside. Gregory, how are you?
I'm hoping that these pro-Gaza protesters that have taken over Columbia University will be treated as insurrectionists.
I would like to think not, but they should be.
They've literally taken over a building.
Yes.
Literally taking over a building. They're breaking glass.
Busting windows, going indoors.
We own, like, they're hanging free Palestine flags up there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, it's the same thing.
Columbia has fallen, right?
Yes.
The Ivy Leagues have been seized by the radical minority of dopes.
Terrorists.
That don't know what they're talking about, yes. Terrorists. There you go.
I can't believe what I'm seeing, honestly.
Yeah.
I cannot believe what I'm seeing.
It is remarkable.
And they're letting him get away with it?
Telling you, man, it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop anytime soon. Been saying it for weeks. It's going to go right through this school year, through the summer. Get ready for the 2024 summer of love.
This is disgraceful. It's disgraceful.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
So we will get to a lot of different things today, including protests. What the University of Florida has now said and done that Columbia apparently is failing to do. That's coming up. A big take this morning on North Penn. Also, Trump and DeSantis have had a kumbaya moment.
Ruh-roh.
Uh-oh.
DeSantis.
Yes. We'll get to that.
The gatekeeper, the keymaster.
Yes. Where's Gozer? We'll also get to another possibility for a vice president for Donald Trump. Also, Joe Biden has been relegated to OnlyFans. You're probably like, what are you talking about, Nick? Details coming up later today. Cut sheet will be loaded. And also, what about the double and or triple haters out there as far as voting goes this fall? What if somebody's out there and they're like, you know what? I don't like Biden. I don't want Trump. And I damn sure don't want RFK Jr. Very interesting story that we will get to.
They're all storming. They're all storming Columbia right now.
Yeah, they'll probably vote for Arafat. There you go. Is he still around? Is he alive still?
I gotta tell you guys, this is a big story.
I mean,
they're breaking glass doors just like on January 6th.
No, it's yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Different rules for different fools, though.
Yeah. Where's Will Bunch and those that crew now saying, oh, we have a right to peacefully protest. Okay.
Well, Greg, they're anti-war protesters.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Can you frame it properly, sir?
In hijabs or whatever you call them.
Jim Acosta might be crying right now in a studio that nobody's watching.
Yeah.
All right, but a lot of people are watching this show because it's a very good show. And one of the big reasons why, the great Dawn Stenslin.
Oh, yes.
6:05, round number one. Let's get to the news.
Yes, already a busy news day. And we broke some records, some weather records yesterday and tied others. So we'll get to all of that. We are sponsored this morning in Kale & Company News Live on this Tuesday morning, April 30th, by Joseph Anthony Spa and Salon. Student protests over, the headline says, Gaza War, are forcing Penn and other U.S. universities to face demands. The Inquirer headline this morning says that they're facing impossible demands. That's the headline as we talk this morning and go through what's going on campuses across our region as well as across the nation. Other school news, I will say the school board and Mayor Sherelle Parker of Philadelphia, City Council did not want Joyce Wilkerson's school board nomination. She used to be the school board president, but Mayor Parker asked her to serve. So she will remain on the board, it looks like, just not as president, obviously. So that one took city, it seemed like they, that took City Council by surprise because it seems like they wanted to move on from Wilkerson in that era. But in any event, City Council in that surprise move will now consider Wilkerson's school board nomination. So that one going on with the school board. And then, yes, you'll hear Nick Cale's big take this morning on last night's big Zoom meeting where less than 150 people attended on Zoom. This is the follow-up we've been covering for you with the seventh grade girl, a 12-year-old girl who was attacked, beaten from behind with that metal cup on her head and many speaking out. We found out the plan or a game plan. Nick Cale upcoming just minutes away with that, or seconds away with that big story that we've been following for you. We also had in East Lansdowne, this is Delaware County, police searching for a man who's accused of shooting another man during an argument last night. This is Delco. Shooting happened late last night, just a couple minutes from the police department right there along the 100 block of Wildwood Avenue near Emerson Ave. Police say they found a man shot to death outside a home, said that suspect left the scene, ran off. They were using a canine to help with that search. So we have that going on. I will take you to Charlotte, North Carolina, where we have a tragic update in all. In Charlotte, North Carolina, 8 police officers shot and a 4th officer, a total of 4, have died. This was as they were trying to serve a warrant for a man's arrest, a suspect's arrest. That man as well was shot and killed after he opened fire on law enforcement. That's according to police there.
I saw that story breaking on Twitter yesterday when I was out golfing. I couldn't believe it. So 4 casualties and 4. 8 total officers hurt?
Yes.
I don't think I can recall in recent memory 4 officers being killed in the same day in the same shooting and setting.
Yes.
That is just beyond horrific.
Yeah, 3. I think the 4th officer, they were able to rush him to the emergency department, and he was critically wounded, but he has succumbed to his injuries. Jeez. That 4th officer. I don't have the condition on the other 4, but yes, it's making national news. So we're following that story for you very carefully, and just a real tragedy for sure. As we look at our Philadelphia Phillies, we're out of this one because we lost 6. We lost 6-5. Our Phils lose. Los Angeles Angels.
Sorry, just get ready to put a bow on the Sixers season. When is that? Tonight, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
In New York. Ooh. Stocker, you might have a play on that later today. Knicks -4.
Yeah, I usually don't say it when it goes against the Sixers, so maybe I'll just say better a parlay.
Yeah, yeah. Find a random West Coast baseball game at 10:30.
Or who will score the first basket? Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah. Who will Joel Embiid blame tonight after the Sixers season comes to a close?
Oh, stop. The man has Bell's palsy. Oh, here we go. Had the worst referees in the history of the game.
Yeah, I know. Everything's a fix in Don Stenville's mind.
Get him out of here.
Well, that brings us to the New York so-called bookkeeping. They call it the hush money trial. I call it the bookkeeping trial. So Donald J. Trump, the trial resumes in New York today with more testimony. I'll end on a lighter note, and this one is, remember that huge $1.32 billion Powerball ticket that we all wish that we had won?
Well, I did win it, Dawn. I just haven't shared any of any of it with you guys.
So we're learning more about the winners of that, $1.3 billion Powerball ticket. And during a news conference at the Oregon Lottery headquarters yesterday. Husband and wife, Charlie and Dwenpen Xiaopen, and their friend Lisa Chow, they were announced as the big winners of that huge lottery drawn earlier this month. They are immigrants. They are legal immigrants from Laos and had escaped, you know, many years ago, had escaped communism and all of that. But as far as his name's Charlie Xiaopen, he has been battling cancer for 8 years.
Aww.
And so it became a somber news conference as he thanked his good doctor and wants to buy a dream home for his family because the prognosis is a... This is... Who sang the song? Oh, my gosh. Alanis Morissette. Isn't it ironic?
Don't you think?
Wasn't ironic. Remember that song?
Yeah.
So, and she has a line about the lottery.
Yep.
And so it, that became the somber news conference because this poor man has been battling a deadly cancer.
Wow.
But it was just sweet and stated how he was so grateful to win this.
Yeah.
He knows his family's going to be taken care of.
Yeah. So he's a legal immigrant. So
legal.
Maybe, yeah,
yes.
Legal as in good. And maybe now he can just take, you know, the little bit of funding that he has in his bank account and finish the wall, and we'll keep out all the illegal immigrants.
By the way, asking ye shall receive, Nick Hale, somebody in the YouTube chat, I think his name was John, wrote, to answer your question, 2016, July 7th, 2016, Xavier Johnson, ambushed and shot police officers in Dallas, Texas, killing five and injuring nine others and wounding two civilians. So that was the last cop tragedy like that with more than Dawn just mentioned.
8 years ago.
Yeah. So, amazing, right?
Yeah.
The nation grieves, and you know, we know this as well. The law enforcement community from across the country, including our region, they'll all go to that those funerals for those officers as they support their service and this tragedy for sure. I'll just say a headline for you because I know Greg Stocker is a closet John Bon Jovi fan.
I'm watching the documentary. I love the documentary.
Oh, you are?
I am. Yeah.
Okay.
I started watching it. Sunday night.
Netflix?
Okay.
No, it's on Hulu.
No.
It's like a five-part documentary series. Yeah, dude, I mean, I can't say I listen to Bon Jovi now, but back in the 80s.
Sure.
There's a picture of me at 8 years old wearing a Slippery When Wet t-shirt.
Did you have like a mullet?
I probably shouldn't have been. Yeah.
80s stalker Bon Jovi.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh,
well, Bon Jovi admits that he, quote, got away with murder, had 100 girls in his life, and in his early rock star days. Greg Stocker, I guess you're watching the whole... I don't mean to do a spoiler alert.
He had 100 girls? Is that some sort of accomplishment?
I guess.
Should he be banging his chest over 100?
He's indulged... Well...
He was married at the time.
Mm. Oh, okay.
That's the problem.
So your verb was, I think, right on.
Look, that claim of 100 is probably low.
It's like the FBI crime stats. It's being underreported.
He probably told his wife, oh, yeah, it was like 100. I'm sorry, Steve.
Yeah.
But it was definitely, I mean, like, look at the guy. The guy was like a sex symbol in the 80s. Of course,
man.
He had women throwing.
He indulged.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, whenever I saw that story about him being married, I'm like, yeah, he's not faithful.
There's no shot. How could he be
faithful? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, no. Wasn't faithful, but clearly wore the raincoat, the protection.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, my gosh, he'd have a million diseases.
No.
He wore the raincoat.
Maybe.
Which brings me to your forecast.
Yeah,
today,
speaking of rain.
86 degrees. We do have some chances for rain and some rocky weather moving through, just about a 20% chance of that rain coming through, 86. But tomorrow for your Wednesday, 81 degrees. Thursday, 85 degrees. Then we finally cool down a bit. Friday, 70 degrees. Just a lovely, perfect day on Friday. For the weekend, you're looking at, this pattern we had last summer, so I hope this is not the beginning of something. The weekend turns cloudy, 66 for your Saturday, and 62 and rainy for your Sunday.
Boo.
But it could change. They're always wrong this far out.
Next thing you know, it'll be 90. There'll be wildfires in Canada. We'll be smelling the smoke.
So yesterday we tied in Philadelphia the record for 88 degree heat. The last time we had that was in the 70s, in the early 70s. I think it was 1974.
Mm-hmm.
But in Allentown, Pennsylvania, it actually was a record.
Yeah.
So 88 degrees.
It was about 103 on the golf course yesterday. Oh. You couldn't find shade.
What time did you finally get home?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock wow. last night?
Yeah, I'm on about 3.5 hours sleep.
Wow.
Oh my
I'm on fumes.
But Greg, so Greg Stocker, I'll just divulge this, texted to Nick, you're doing a good thing. It's for a good cause.
Because
you're out there raising money and commemorating the life of Lieutenant Travis Mannion, who yesterday on April 29th was shot in the line of duty.
17 years ago yesterday, he died. They had on each tee box, they had a fallen vet that lost their lives with a big picture, like a billboard almost.
Yeah.
And we got to the Travis Mannion hole. I forget what hole it was, 12th hole or something. And we were all just taking pictures because it's like, all right, this is why we're here today, for this individual, obviously, but for all of his fallen brothers as well.
So you've done a good thing.
Oh yeah.
For a good cause. We'll hear more about it. I'm glad at least no rain yesterday. We are sponsored by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon this morning. The secret to spoiling the moms in your life this spring, now with 3 locations: Glen Mills, Springfield Center City, Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online, josephanthony.com, where gift cards are available. That's josephanthony.com. And this is Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:16 here on this Tuesday morning. Let's get to another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the Big Take this morning is brought to you by Wawa, mandated reporter failure. We will get to some of the details from last night's school district virtual meeting and also a letter from a parent in the North Penn School District coming up at the bottom of the hour. But let's begin specifically with this story in the Big Take, because teachers are mandated reporters when it comes to the safety and security of our children. Now more than ever, with the rise of school assaults being exposed and shown on social media, especially with trans students being the aggressors, it's time to call out the educators who are failing to live up to their responsibilities. In Pennsylvania, mandated reporters must, as the law indicates, quote, immediately make a report or notify the person in charge. All educators, quote, have certain mandatory reporting responsibilities under the Educator Discipline Act. When your kid goes to public school, funded by you, the parent, via your tax dollars, you should be highly confident that your child is in good hands from the moment they get on that bus or step foot on school grounds until the moment they are back in your custody. And we've seen over the last 2 weeks locally in the North Penn School District at Pembroke Middle School that this is not the case. A completely preventable assault, which could have resulted in a deadly tragedy, should have been averted. And we have discussed this story that has sparked national outrage, and rightfully so, right here in our own backyard, where the 13-year-old viciously assaulted a 12-year-old with a Stanley Cup. As somebody who lives in Montgomery County myself and has 2 daughters set to enroll in Montgomery County School District this fall, I've already been thinking, how would I react if this happened to my daughters? I'd be fuming. I'd be livid, especially if the warning signs were there 5 hours reportedly in advance, and this still happened to my daughters, Olivia and or Mia, when it could have been stopped before it was ever started. A Montgomery County mom by the name of Nicole joined the Dawn Show last week to speak up about this story. Listen to this clip from the Dawn Show.
There has been a lot of opinion on the, you know, the different mom, North Penn mom pages that I belong to, how I spread the word about the protest. But to be honest with you, I've just shut it down or even ignored it, because it's not part of the problem at all. The problem is the district, the way it was handled, you know, and what can we do for these kids now? That's what I'm focused on. I really don't care about any political baloney. That can be dealt with at another time. You know, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer in educational law or anything like that. I'm just a parent that has a kid in the district. But I think this might be maybe a bigger issue with Pennsylvania law. And I'm pretty sure the child had an IEP, so they're protected by different laws.
Yes.
But for the mental health piece, you know, yeah, definitely. We can have some more resources out there. The teachers are mandated reporters. And so, just like you said, if they come up to you and say something, you have to report it by law. So, again, I don't know where the breakdown happened. I don't know if the guidance counselor didn't say something to somebody, or if she went to the principal and he just brushed it off. I don't know, but that's why we're asking for transparency of the investigation findings for the parents.
What are Dawn's sources saying? We will find out coming up at the bottom of the hour. Also, some details from the virtual Zoom meeting last night for the North Penn School District, courtesy of 6ABC at the bottom of the hour, and also a letter on NorthPennNow.com from one parent who has finally had enough. But also, according to Fox News, just 2 days ago, two of the parents, Brown and Sarah Batory, spoke with Fox News Digital about their frustrations with how the school has handled the situation and the trauma that their children are dealing with. Batory said her son was in the cafeteria that day and witnessed the brutal attack against his friends and classmate. She said that she was so shaken up that he wasn't able to return to school, saying, quote, "He told me that something had happened and that there was a lot of blood, and then he texted me and said that everybody, all the teachers, were making the kids put away their phones and telling them they couldn't call or text their parents." So obviously that sent a lot of parents into quite a frenzy, Batory told Fox News Digital. According to sister station KYW News Radio, the school district announced that it will hold a forum with a panel of district employees and safety experts to address the safety concerns. It will take place at 6 p.m. coming up on May the 14th at North Penn High School, and it will also be live streamed. A letter written by a North Penn parent coming up at 6:30. But this is hardly a local issue or just a Pennsylvania issue. This is going on around the country. And we have two other stories to show what is happening. The first story has some eerie similarities to the North Penn story. Headline from the Daily Mail, quote, "Leaked emails show how a woke Massachusetts school handled a trans student's hit list threat with anti-bias training and LGBTQIA plus affinity group." They go on to say, a trans Boston student named 40 classmates and teachers on a hit list. Does that sound familiar? Educators in response called for empathy for the creator of the list. Parents disagreed. Here's an excerpt of the story. A records request has uncovered shocking emails of how an ultra-progressive Massachusetts school dealt with a transgender student who named 40 students and teachers on a hit list. Watertown Public Schools in the West Boston suburbs did not expel the student. Instead, officials made the suspect the victim and demanded more sympathy, empathy, and training. PDE, Parents Defending Education, a conservative group, obtained school emails through a public records request last week. They show parents were alarmed by the school's lax response to the threatening situation. The emails spotlight wider fears about the rising number of children who identify as trans and non-binary who face bullying and the small but worrying number of them who turn to classroom violence. Casey Ryan, the PDE researcher who obtained the emails, said it was, quote, irresponsible to an alarming degree how Watertown Public Schools kept this student's gender identity hidden from the public. Ryan told the Daily Mail that, quote, parents deserve to know why their kids were targeted and potentially at risk of losing their lives. And I want people to think about this. That school, Pembroke, and also this next story we will get to in a moment, has put the transgender students' comfort and feelings above the safety and security of 40 children. And in this trans-obsessed world we live in, where identity politics pronouns are paraded around and shoved down your throat, we now have the hiding of the trans student's identity. If you're so proud of who you are and what you want to be referred to as, why are we now concealing your identity when all you talk about is your identity? In a day and age where we have an LGBTQ plus calendar that dedicates 145 days a year to one small community, you can't have it both ways. That gets me to the second story, which has occurred in Seattle, Washington. Another bastion of wokeness and left-wing stupidity. Headline from the New York Post. Seattle teacher who said it's offensive to identify as straight has now been suspended for comments on the Hamas terror attacks. This is all connected, folks. These ideologies all interwoven together, all absurd. A Seattle high school teacher previously accused of berating a student for describing himself as, quote, straight, has been suspended for making pro-Hamas comments, including that the terror attack on Israel was justified, and questioning whether women were actually raped. Ian Golash, social studies chairman at Chief Self International High School, was placed on administrative leave last week after, quote, Accuracy in Media, a conservative group that exposes anti-Semitism on campuses, distributed a video with him where the Seattle Times shared this report. Adam Gillette, president of AIM, asked Golash whether what happened to the Jewish state on October 7th was justified. The teacher told him it was. When asked whether the rape of women at the Nova Music Festival was justified, Golash responded, "Where is the evidence that there was rape?" Gillette then asked him whether women were murdered at the festival and whether their deaths were justified. Golash replied, "Yes." This news apparently not a shock to the Seattle school and the parents of that community. News of the suspension comes 3 months after Golash allegedly berated a student who described himself as straight. The student's mom claimed that in the beginning of the school year, Golash provided students with a social identity wheel, and it was a worksheet asking them to reflect on various identities, including race, ethnicity, gender, and sexual orientation. After the 10th grader labeled himself as straight, the teacher allegedly told him the term is offensive. Quote, "It is completely inappropriate to dictate what terms a student can or cannot use to identify themselves with," the mother wrote in an email to Golash and principal Ray Garcia Morales. The teacher denies singling out her son, but confirmed saying he prefers not to use the term straight because it, quote, implies that to not be straight is to be crooked, which could have a negative connotation. Guys, gals, I'm not making this up. This is this is real life that's going on here. Here's an idea, Mr. Golash. Maybe your brain is crooked. This is the world of madness that we are living in as parents with kids in some of these public schools. Pronouns, student attacks, and justifiable violence against Jewish people. Our educational system is poisoned with deranged far-left ideology nutcases. Not everywhere. Not everywhere for sure. But it shouldn't be happening. Mandatory reporters failing to protect and obsessed with indoctrination. It's time for parents, common sense, and education to return to our school system, now more than ever, before another preventable tragedy occurs. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it's brought to you by Wawa this morning. Spice up your sandwich routine at Wawa. Try a Honey Hot Club, panini, ciabatta, or hoagie from Wawa, made fresh when you order it. Gotta have a Wawa. What went down last night on Zoom with North Penn? Find out the details on the other side. But first, let me tell you about my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. Last week, oh yeah, Piazza Acura in Westchester test drove the 2024 Acura Integra with 320 horsepower in a four-cylinder engine. That's right, four cylinders, stronger than my truck. That was just awarded Road and Track Performance Car of the Year. I'm a former Acura owner for 10 years myself. And the new Integra is amazing. A 16-speaker ELS Studio 3D premium audio system, Apple and Android CarPlay, wireless charging pad, and more, plus the highest performance smooth adaptive damper system. Test drive the new Acura Integra at Piazza Acura in Westchester, Ardmore, or Reading, or visit PiazzaAutoGroup.com and tell them Nick Kale sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Tuesday morning, all sorts of good stuff to get to as we continue Cut Sheet at 7:45. We're going to get to this big breaking news story that is playing out in real time as anti-Israel Columbia activists have now breached their academic hall, smashing windows, hanging banners, and legitimately sitting on rooftops and sitting outside of windows.
Not just banners, intifada banners.
That's which correct. Is,
what is that, like death to infidels or something, yeah. Dawn?
Yes. Yeah. This would be the equivalent of the KKK wearing white pillowcases and burning a cross.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, to me, that's what this yep. is the equivalent of.
Yep.
I mean,
death to the
wow.
infidels, death to America. And by the way, for all the death to America people out there, if you don't like America and you hate it, get the hell out.
Exactly.
Nobody's forcing you to stay
yeah.
here.
Thank you.
Leave.
Yeah. Stop disgusting up our country if
yeah,
you don't want to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
You like that? Disgusting
I like
up.
That.
Yeah, don't disgust up anything.
With your protests.
We'll need that on the board, Jim. All right. 855-839-1210. We've got some details here from 6ABC. I also want to read you this letter from a man named Vince Altieri.
I asked him to call in. I don't know if he can.
Beautiful. Very good. And Dawn, you've been reporting on this, doing a great job. Did you hear anything from any sources last night on how this went, what went down? I'm sure you were probably texting like a madman throughout the evening.
Yeah, so I was on the they zoomed the meeting. It was a pre-planned to Zoom, but they left it that way. First and foremost, because this shocking, violent incident happened with a 12-year-old girl, you know, recovering from, you know, staples in her head.
Mm-hmm.
Her head busted open that we've talked about in school. A lot of parents thought this would be a good time to meet in person, to hear from our officials in person during, you know, this meeting, but they continued on with the pre-planned Zoom meeting.
Okay.
But yes, I was in on so at the height of it, not quite 150 people, only seven people at the end, only seven parents commented, six parents and I think one terrified teacher's aide who, you know, didn't want to be identified, but it gave you chill bumps when she called in,
mm-hmm.
when she zoomed in and didn't want her face shown or anything of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But my take on this, and I think a lot of the parents' take was, the one parent who called in who said, "Wow, you really did some gymnastics, some verbal gymnastics on that one."
Mm-hmm.
So some of the parents, the comments that I saw, I have talked to afterwards and during, is that there just seemed to be this level of apathy. My husband and my sons, while they're doing their fantasy leagues, are more passionate and more animated than these school administrators were in talking about student safety.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about, you know, it reminded me of the Venn diagram conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was all, they talked about data and data so much that, remember data from, was it like Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
that I started, you know, Star Trek? I started thinking about that.
Okay.
So they talked about metrics and that this is systemic and we're going to have committees and we're going to have task forces. And they never talked about what happened, who's accountable, how they're going to get to somebody and make somebody accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll tell you what. Yesterday, I said a prayer. I said, "Lord, I will never complain again that we have spent so much money on our kids' private education."
Right. You can't put a price tag on that, right?
Because when I watched these administrators, I thought in a private school setting, they would have been fired.
Mm-hmm.
You're fired. Boom.
Right.
Most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Brandon Roan, he's a more hands-on person.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed very involved and hands-on and active. Everybody else, it felt to me like CYA. It felt like we're going to create Venn diagrams and this is all a team effort and we're going to involve the community. No, no, no. This is your job and you all make good money and you are paid. You serve the school. You know, our principal always started, every principal, you know, my kids, well, they had the same principal pretty much K through eighth. She would start every meeting with, "Thank you for the honor and the privilege of educating your child. You've entrusted me," she would say.
Right.
And I'm so grateful that you've entrusted me with this incredible task to educate your child and to keep your child safe,
mm-hmm.
safely.
Yep.
There was no passion. There was nothing heartfelt. It was all about, hey, we're going to create committees and we're going to have community task force and we're going to have an action committee. We're creating all of this bureaucracy. And in the midst of it was lost the fact that these kids, these little kids, when you finally got to the comment section, are scared to go to school. They're scared.
Yeah.
I mean, you have little girls this age.
Yep.
Because even the victim was 12, but there are sixth grade girls right now,
mm-hmm.
and boys who are terrified to go to school.
Right.
There are kids who are scared in the cafeteria because that's where it happened. All these parents volunteered to just make some changes so it looks a little different. Nothing.
Yep.
So all to right. me, it was, a huge disappointment. And,
sure.
And it was 2 hours of just bureaucratic
fluff.
Yeah,
verbal gymnastics, like you said.
And if this were my kid, if I had not called a lawyer, I called one last night.
Yeah.
If I'm in that school district.
Well, the website is northpennnow.com. It's a letter, quote, "It's time to take another step on the moon, North Penn School District." It's a letter to the editor from a parent named Vince Altieri. Dawn, you mentioned efforting to get him on the line. I was going to read his well-written article verbatim because I think it's worth the 5 minutes to read, but he is on the line right now. Vincent Altieri. Vince, good morning. How are you? We appreciate your time.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's great to be on.
Great to have you on the show. I'll let you kind of give us a Cliff Note version of what you wrote on NorthPennNow.com and what you're feeling right now as a parent in that school district.
Well, you know, we could probably talk for hours, and it feels like it's been an eternity while I got involved with my daughter's education. And I'm going to be, first, I'm going to be upfront in saying that, you know, my daughter is going to have a good outcome at North Penn, and that's because of the effort that she's going to put in. But that's going to be despite what I feel is a political monopoly at North Penn. And when I started to get involved with school board, I got involved because I felt that something inappropriate happened to my daughter. So I went to a meeting and I expressed my concern. And as I continue to go to more and more meetings, you know, you mentioned bureaucracy. That's all I felt. And I was just shocked. And I was embarrassed, to be honest with you. I mean, my wife is in public education, has been a kindergarten teacher for nearly 30 years. And I could sense her frustration in coming home to see how public education has turned away from, she's now she's not only a school teacher, but she's the school nurse. She's the guidance counselor. She is everything but being a teacher. She's the parent. And it's happened because public education, as I noted in my article, it's just morphed into, let's see what's wrong with the world from different people's perspectives, and let's try and solve those problems, because you have a bunch of politicians on the school board in North Penn, and that's what they're interested in. They have aspirations. They run for political office. This is a stepping stone for them. I went to countless meetings, probably close to 30 to 40 meetings. They silence you after a certain period of time. They shut your mic off. And then they have the opportunity to belittle you after you speak. And that's what Jonathan Casa did last night to the community. I wasn't surprised. I penned the letter in advance. I appreciate North Penn Now putting that out there, because there are some real solutions. The community doesn't trust the school board directors. And there are people within the community that they could put in or ask for their opinions. I mean, that's why I mentioned a gentleman by the name of Pat Hanrahan, who is a retired police officer who does some work for security in the district. The community, the community members that trust Pat don't trust the school district. So if they really want to extend that olive branch and allow healing and allow some real solutions, they didn't provide solutions. And I appreciate you listening in, Dawn, to the meeting last night. It was a bunch of nonsense. And nothing's going to change. I didn't speak last night because I entered the school board race, was fortunate enough to receive the most votes on my side. I entered the race to prove a lesson to my daughter. North Penn is blue, and I hate to say the word blue, red, or whatever color. So I knew I wasn't going to win, but it was about teaching a lesson. It's about standing up. I'll go back to where I started. My daughter's going to have a positive outcome because there are some great people that work there, despite the board of directors and whatever their political aspirations are.
Yeah, Vince, thanks for calling in. What did you make of, and I was typing along or writing along at about half an hour, about an hour into this thing, Dr. Todd Bauer brought up, and I think this was the moment that he lit up, when he talked about his conversations with Congresswoman Madeleine Dean. So this is, and mm-hmm. you particularly wrote something that said, keep the politics out. We keep hearing that. The officials said that yesterday. This should never be political. But then they went on to talk about and rave about Madeleine Dean, that she had a conversation with him. They didn't reveal if she was, fighting for any more money for the district or for security or something like that. But they really lit up during that one. Then there was another point when they talked about the Attorney General's office. And then another point when they talked about a DOJ, Department of Justice program. Did you notice that there was this infusion of political speak by people who said they didn't want to be political?
Well, I noticed it because I've been in that movie for almost 2 years. So that's the playbook they run. You know, they love to interject. You know, they'll talk about fair funding at a school level. They've got more funding, and they waste more funding. We could talk about what they did with a high school referendum project when they disguised a referendum as less than $100 million. It was an $800 million project. And I was shocked, to be candid with you, that they lost that referendum vote. So to answer your question specifically, because I'm not a politician, when I'm asked the question, I give an answer. It's how they operate. And you know, they've got people convinced that they're in this for the children. They're not in this for the children. They're in this for themselves. And Todd Bauer, I've had multiple conversations with Todd Bauer. He's a nice man, but he doesn't have leadership courage. And when he tells me in private conversations, and I don't give a damn anymore about the voting which discussed in private, that he doesn't always disagree with policies that have come out from the school board. I said, have the leadership courage and stand up. You know, I understand he's making almost $300,000 a year, and he's probably earning it in some ways, okay? But if you're not going to have the leadership courage to stand up when children are involved, I'm sorry. You have to question what your motives are. And while he'll return every call, he'll always bring it back. He'll always bring it back to what's politically correct and how to avoid. They're in cahoots. They've been in charge for almost 10 years in North Penn, everyone. They've had 4 dissenting votes in 10 years. I mean, for crying out loud, I have 4 dissenting votes with my wife in 3 hours.
Yeah, at the grocery store.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Can I just ask you really quick about, and I don't want to say her name, and I thought it was a sin that they made this woman's name because she's obviously an educator, maybe a teacher's aide, but she was chilling when she came in, and this was about 7:30 p.m. last night, when she said she does not feel safe. She has not felt safe in a long time, and this investigation needs to go back years. I inferred a lot from what she said, and I don't want to say her name. It was what she said was chilling. You could hear the fear in her voice. My question is, do you have any information about her? Without identifying her, is she someone who I presume is an aide to perhaps a student who she felt for years was a danger to others?
Yeah, I mean she's been involved with the district for many years and children in the district. And I respect when parents don't want to specifically put their name out there. But to answer your question, yes, I know the young lady. I know her family, and they're involved. And I mentioned it earlier, and they've been in charge forever. And forever is not the right word, but many, many years. And yeah, there's a fear of people that will speak outwardly towards them, that they're going to be excluded from the inner circle. But I mean, I'll be honest, I don't want to be in that inner circle. And if I would have won that board seat, there would have been some fireworks. You know, for crying out loud, the president of the board didn't even show up for the first meeting directly after it. CASA didn't show up. You have school board candidates that won that didn't even show up for debates. And amazing. I noted in my article, for crying out loud, we have a school board director on there disrespecting police, and there's a video of it.
Yep.
And they were still voted in.
Unbelievable.
Come on.
Vince, thank you so much for your time and your insight. I'm going to put out a tweet with the link to your story so you can get some traction with that and people can read your words verbatim. Thank you so much, Vincent.
Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Vincent Altieri joining us. Nice work, Dawn, getting him on the show. The letter, if you want to read it, northpennnow.com. Time to take another step. And he goes through, and it's not just a ranting and raving column. I mean, he certainly, you can tell the tone of it, but he comes up with solutions and ways to get past this and get education back to where it needs to be. And that's just educating students and not talking about political things. And he, when he was trying to make a bid for office, he says right here in his column that he was proud to never have taken a cent from a politician. So good work out of that father and that parent. 855-839-1210. If you would like to jump in, we have a lot to get to with protests. Columbia University in New York City has been breached. We are dealing with stuff like that similarly here in Philadelphia at the University of Penn. We'll get to some of the details and also some of the data that shows this is a loud, vocal minority of people. Details coming up next, hour two. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
My kitchen is the heart of my home. If you're tired of your old kitchen or bathroom, you need to give my friends at Kitchen Magic a call. You know, they offer no shortage of solutions for any room in your home. With a new vanity or maybe a tub shower conversion, you're going to love that new bathroom. Plus, an industry-leading warranty. A 10-year recipient of Lehigh Valley's top workplaces, by the way, right here in Pennsylvania. Right now, Kitchen Magic is offering 12 months, no payments, no interest, financing, plus 10% off your entire remodel. Get your free in-home consultation today, kitchenmagic.com, kitchenmagic.com. You're going to love them. Don't forget to tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.